stirred my heart what he wanted me to preach on tonight, and I knew what he wanted me to preach on tonight. But when I got asked to preach this morning, I didn't really know what God wanted me to preach this morning, and it's all good, but I went with what God led me to go with. I have to admit, I'd like to do that again tonight. And we're going to get rigged up. I'll tell you why. We put these messages on the internet, and I just left this thing laying up here this morning. It sounded like I was in a cave, and we want to try to do our best with every opportunity that God gives us to get the Word of God out there. Now, I know in America here, we're just blessed. We're gospel blessed. But in other countries, they don't have the privileges we've got. They don't have anything but persecution, but they still love the Lord maybe even more than we do. And they go on this website and they listen to these messages. And we want to try to get the word out.
Amen.
That's what we need to do even here. We need to get the word out. Get somebody and tell them, go with me. Go with me to revival tomorrow night. Go with me one night. We got to get that word out, amen. But we're recording this tonight. And you shout when you want to. If you can't help us, don't worry about it. It'll be all right. We're going to be taking our text tonight out of Galatians, book of Galatians, chapter number 6. And I kind of got this message an unusual way when Brother Philip, when he called me, I started seeking God immediately what he'd have me to preach. I'm dumber than a box of rocks, and I'm always needing the help of God. God help the man that thinks he doesn't need the help of God. I believe it was Peter that said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. I still remember the first time I stood to preach. I didn't know nothing, don't know much more than that now. But I did know that God had called me to preach, Brother Todd. Now I remember I preached that Sunday night. Well, Micah despised David as he was dancing before the Lord, and I preached on the dangers of despising. And God held me like a little suckling child, and I hate to say it like this, but I thought after that service, I thought there ain't nothing to preaching. And the next time the Lord withdrew himself, and I learned real quick how important it is to have God's help when you stand for the Word of God. It didn't take me long to get with the program, amen. I remember seeking God weeping and saying, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't understand, but I do now. Don't never be very far from me. And the Bible said he's not very far from any one of us. And you can find him if you feel after him. He's never very far. I appreciate that sister back there coming up here. That was just pure worship.
Amen.
Man, I tell you what, that's what we need to learn how to do. The Bible said in St. John chapter 4, those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it goes on to say he desires such to worship him in spirit and truth. But even greater than that, he deserves such. Galatians chapter 6, tell you about this message later. I'll comment on it. But we want to read Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2. Paul writing to the church of Galatia, and he says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We'll stop our reading right there and go to God in prayer. I want to preach tonight on God's restoration program. Father, we thank you for the privilege, Lord, to stand for the Word of God. Lord, we ask, Lord, dear Father God, tonight you'd fill our home with oil. Lord, we're excited tonight because, Lord, we know this is the message that you wanted preached tonight. And Lord, we're willing, Lord, to do our part, and I pray you'll be willing to do your part. I yield myself even right now, Lord, is nothing but dust and ashes. But I pray, Father God, you would put in this vessel that, Lord, which is needed for this hour. And for whatever you do, Lord, tonight, may you get all the praise and all the glory. We thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, people make mistakes. I hope you realize that. We're not perfect. There's no pedigree Christians. I'd like to be Brother Reardon. I really would. I'd like to be a pedigree. But I'm sad to say it's the other way around. That's why God said, "My little children, I would that you sin not." But if you do, and we do, we got an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And He lives to ever make intercession for us. And He's up there a lot talking to God about 088. I'm still a little rough around the edges, amen.
Amen.
I was coming to church tonight, and Donnie was talking to me, my brother on the Lord. He was telling me about he'd had a little struggle this week. And he said, "You ever curse?" I said, "I don't like to, but there have been a few times I did. I just got saved out there working in the factory yard, Donnelly and Sons. Been saved about a month, you know. The Bible does say, let no corrupt communication proceed from your mouth as becoming saints. It wasn't like I wanted to, Brother Bobby. It just happened. I'm working on this piece of junk, 516. I'm afraid it with a hammer. It wasn't cooperating. And I couldn't believe it myself, but I took God's name in vain. Now, before I saved, it didn't bother me a bit. But I have to admit, this time I dropped that hammer and I fell down in front of six men. And I said, 'I am sorry, Lord. I am sorry. Forgive me.' I was expecting those men to laugh me to scorn. But those men, that had such an effect on those men. Every one of those men but one got saved.
Amen.
And the one that didn't, he'd been raised an atheist. His name was Phil Zamtuck. He came to me, Brother Todd, and he said, 'I want to believe.' He meant it. He said, 'I want to believe. I really do.' But we're not perfect. And the Bible said in Psalm 39, verse 4, man in his best state is altogether vanity. It's not like we've got anything to offer God but disappointment, failure. Brother Philip mentioned about Adam and Eve there in the garden. God only gave them one commandment. They couldn't even keep it. And here we are thinking we can keep 10. Who are we fooling? Amen?
Amen.
Only one commandment. Of all the trees of the garden, thou may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. That worked pretty good till the devil showed up. One thing you can do, you can always count on the devil to show up. I mean, boy, when he's least needed, when you're down, when you've had it up to here, when you're ready to throw in the towel, he'll show up.
Amen.
You know, he's pretty good. He's been around a while. I heard a story one time. It's kind of a joke, but I guess it's got somewhat truth to it. They said that all the demons and the devil got together and had a meeting. And the devil said, "We need to do something. I mean, this stuff we're doing is working. We're getting them through drugs and drink and you know, all of these prostitution places and all this. Triple X is working and all that, but we need to do more. We need to just keep going harder and try to get more people lost and get them down and in hell and all that right there." And the devil says, "Anybody got any ideas?" One of them demons raised up his hand. He said, "I got an idea." He said, "Well, what is it?" He said, "Well, we'll tell them to start going to church." And the devil bit about an inch off his tongue. Said, "What?" He said, "Wait, I ain't done yet." He said, "We'll tell them to go to church. We'll tell them to straighten their life up. We'll tell them to get saved. We'll tell them to live for God." And the devil's a cursing and ranting and raving. He said, "Hold on, I ain't done yet." He said, "Well, spit it out, boy." He said, "We'll tell them to do all that, but we'll tell them to do it tomorrow."
Amen.
And the devil said, "That'll work." You know, all of us got good intentions. I really do want to do more for God, Brother Philip. I really do.
Understand.
And the devil makes sure I'm so busy I can't. He does you too. Got you running to and fro, driving like a maniac. And anyway, you know, we make mistakes. The most important thing about that is what you do when somebody makes a mistake. Now, I used to raise chickens. Me and my wife first got married, and we didn't know. No, we thought we was farmers, I guess, Brother Todd. We had some Dominicker chickens out there, you know, and I'm out there feeding them things, you know, and I learned a lot from them chickens, Brother Bobby. I found out one thing: when you're throwing that feed out there to them, they run right immediately, and I mean, they'll start pecking that ground. Now, they're kind of like Baptists in this respect. If one of them chickens ever pecks the head of another chicken, it's dead that fast. I mean, they'll fly in on that thing and peck it to death. The first time I saw it, it just literally with horror. I couldn't believe how fast they killed that chicken. That's kind of the way we do sometimes. We henpeck things to death. Now, people are going to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. I'm going to make mistakes. And you know, when someone makes a mistake, if they admit they made a mistake, you ought to receive them in brotherly love. Hebrews 13:1 says, let brotherly love continue. Well, here's the whole message. I'm praying, seeking God. Lord, what do you want me to preach on? I work at this little place out there called Omnicare. We're legal drug dealers. We package medicine. You seen them little blister packs? That's what we do. I print the back part of it. It's called linen. I'm taking my garbage back out of their dumpster. I've been seeking God. What he wants me to preach on, Brother Philip. I'm back there at the dumpster, and here comes a young lady, Angela. And she comes up there, which is normal. We all throw our trash away. And she comes up there. There's nobody but me and her around. And she gets up there where I'm at. And she just breaks. I mean, just tears flying everywhere.
Amen.
She says, why won't people let it be? And I'm sitting there thinking, this is bad. I knew what she was talking about. I already knew about her situation ever since the day she hired in. But I kept it to myself and the Lord. You see, you read that Psalm chapter number 1, it's kind of like the Beatitudes of the Old Testament. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doeth he meditate day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in season. His leaf also shall not wither, but the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff driven by the wind. Therefore the ungodly shall not prosper, and not stand in the day of judgment. I mean, I got all that right, but I'll tell you, it's kind of like the Beatitudes. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Now this young lady, I wanted to just pick up my arms and hug her. I could tell she had been, you know, I love people. And I try to help people. I'll put myself at a loss for anyone. I'd rather take the blame than see someone else have to suffer. I'd rather do it. I'm a little more seasoned probably than anybody ever give me credit for, but it don't bother me. I know I'm nothing. I'm not trying to make a name for Eddie Wade. I'm not trying to be anything but be a blessing to the one that forgave me and saved me, amen. But I want to just pick up my arms and I want to just hug her and hold her. I really did. But I knew that wouldn't work. No telling how that would have turned out. But I said, Angie, let me tell you something, Angie. I said, I know you made a mistake. And you know you made a mistake. But I said, here's the good part, Angie. You didn't stay there. You kept going. It didn't end there. It didn't stop there. You kept on going. I said, that's a plus, Angie. And I told her, I said, Angie, I'm sorry these people are running this in the ground. But I said, the Lord Jesus won't do that.
Amen.
And I took the Bible. I said, Angela, you know how far Jesus put your sins away? She's tearing up there, rearing. I said, he put them away as far as the east is from the west. I said, Angie, you know how far away that is? She said, how far away? I said, as long as you're going east, you'll never find the west. That's as far away as you can put something. We're not talking north-south. We're talking east to west. As long as you're going east, you'll never find the west. He put it as far away as you can. But not only that, he said never to remember no more against us. Amen? And here they are throwing her sin up. And she did do the unthinkable. I really regret it because the devil loved it. You know what the devil wants? Let me just be blunt here. He wants to set you up, buddy. He wants to get you to do something unthinkable. And he'll sit there on your shoulder kind of the way it is in cartoons, you know. And he'll say, do it. And then when you do it, he'll go over and say, he done it, because he wants you to get caught. And then he wants the whole world to come down on you.
Yeah.
And he loves every minute of it. He loves it when you make a mistake. Angie, I told her, I said, Angie, the Bible said about Jesus, a bruised reed, he'll not break. Boy, that helped her, Brother Bobby. I said, he knows you're hurting, honey. He's touched by the, I wish we could be like him. I said, he's touched by the feelings of your infirmities. You know, he's a wonderful high priest, a wonderful Savior. And I said, Angie, I said, smoke and flax, he won't quench. And I said, he already knows about this situation. And I said, Angie, I can't help it. These people are doing like they're doing. But I love you. He loves you. And it'll be all right. And you know, she just kind of come back to life there. And I did kind of hug her a little bit. I said, it'll be all right. But like I did you there, sister. Just kind of put my hand on her back. But people make mistakes. Don't add to their grief. The Bible said in the book of Jude, it's just one chapter, verse 22, it says, have compassion. Making a difference. Boy, I reckon we're the only ones that kill our wounded. Baptists are the world's worst. Boy, we get something, and I mean it. It's kind of sad that we'll do that, but we do it. There's something in here, I don't know. You know, we don't have to have no help with road rage. I get a little bit of it myself. You know, somebody pull out in front of me and I get up on their bumper there. Why is it we have no need for no one to help us with road rage? And I'm driving 90 miles an hour and I don't know why, I ain't going nowhere. And then now in schools we got bullying. Little boys, little girls, somebody picking on them, bullying on them. Why is it we don't have to have no help? Bullying, road rage. Some little 13-year-old girl bullied at school. She got home, bullied at home on Facebook. She said, I can't take it no more. And she took her life. No restoration. She just said, I can't take no more. We got to get back to what God... You know, God, all He asks us to do is love one another. That's it. If you want to know what God's commands are, there too. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbors, yourself. God is love. He wants us to love. He wants to know why we can't love. That's why Paul wrote to the church of Galatia. He said, if a brethren be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the love of Christ. Amen. Let's learn to love. Amen. Amen. I believe it'd be a blessing if we just learn to love one another. I don't know why we can't. I'll tell you how it works. I hate to tell this. I was down on my knees one time praying, Brother Philip. I'm a father. And I got a son and a daughter, and they're not exactly what I want them to be or where I want them to be. And I'm down there complaining to God about my son and my daughter. And God had the audacity to interrupt my prayer and say, I'll tell you what, we'll work on 80 first, and then we'll work on them. Y'all can laugh if you want to, but He did. Amen. And I stopped right then complaining to God about Bobby and Melina, and I said, Lord, it's me we need to fix. You see, there's something wrong with my eye. I could see their fault, but I couldn't see mine. That's what our problem is. We're fault finders. Let God do the fault finding. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
I needed that. I had my righteous indignation. I thought, boy, oh boy, I have arrived. And here I am. Lord, help my son. Lord, help my daughter. And God said, let's work on 80 first. We'll get them later. We need some of that every now and then, Brother Philip. That's kind of what I'm preaching about tonight. We need to learn how to love again. A woman came to a meeting one night. The evangelist was there, and she is in Chicago. She came into that meeting. She asked kind of a scary question. She said, is there any hope for me? And you know how Baptists are. Well, sure, honey, come on in here. She said, no, I need to know. Is there any hope for me? He said, sure, honey, come on in here. She said, I need to explain myself. I was raised up in church. When I became a teenager, I rebelled and went out in the world and I made a lot of mistakes. I'm dying of age. I need to know. Is there any hope for me? He said, sure, honey, come on in here. Brother Reardon, he got up there. He read Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, "Come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool." And she came to the altar before the message was ever preached, before the invitation was ever given. And she got up and makeup melted everywhere. And she said, "There is a fountain. Go from Emmanuel's veins and sinners' prayers. Beneath that blood, lose all their guilty stains."
Amen.
She remembered that much, brother. Yeah. Raise them upright. It might break your heart, but I'll tell you what, invest heavily. The decks are stacked against us. It's not like it used to be. They throw the Bible out of school. Our schools now are nothing but just indoctrination, trying to teach them socialistic, liberal theology. Hey, I never did ever have a tail. Right. I'm made in the image of God.
Right.
He made me. Have compassion. Have compassion, making a difference. Some reason that I got 1 Peter chapter 4 here. I don't know why. But I do want to see why I wrote that down here. It says, "Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of right, speaking evil of you." You know, the world wants you to be like them, but they need you to be like hell.
Yeah, right.
The only hope they got is that you will live righteous, godly, and sober in this present evil world. That you will present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Let me tell you something, the world's looking for something. They need something real. They need what you've got. You're a gazing stock. You're the living epistle. They're looking at you. And they do really want you to live right. They want to find Christ in you. They want to somehow through you get to know Him. What we don't want is to have them find one of them makes two four more trials of hell himself. I ain't going to name no names. Now, I don't try to be nice here tonight, but you know, everybody ain't got the right message. Everybody's not preaching the right thing. There are some out there, I tell you what, they'd be better off. And I work with some of them. Some of them be better off if they just throw that lie away and get the truth, amen. It's pretty hard to convince someone that's believed a lie that what they believe ain't true. And to get them a truth, I'd rather meet somebody who never heard nothing, amen. But I'm glad I'm saved. And the Bible said we know we passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I didn't love nobody but Eddie Wade till I got saved. And now I want you to know I love everybody. I got joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. I'm telling you, praise God, I got what I needed all along, and I got it in Him. Amen.
Amen.
It goes on to say, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. You know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That next verse. How is it we don't have no problem hating and have such a problem loving? We need to learn to love, beloved. There's a lot of angels out there. A lot of bruised reeds out there. They need someone to nurture them. Help them get back. You know, Romans chapter 12 verse 18. I like this verse, Brother Reardon. He says, if it be possible. Now you listen real good to that. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. It's not always possible, but if it is possible, live peaceably with all men. Illustration. I've been using my wife's Facebook, and y'all laughed this morning. I hope you laugh again tonight. I don't care. Been using my wife's Facebook and done got her all kind of trouble. She don't know it yet. But anyway, this guy on there, he had something on there about abortions, and I'm totally against it. I see these people, these babies here, and I think it's the greatest thing there was. God trust us with a little blessing of flesh like that right there, and trust us to love them and to bring them up and love them. It's the Lord. But it had something on there about abortion here. I stuck my nose in there, Brother Bobby. And this guy, he's got his picture and his arms look like mine used to. You know, he's a big old husky guy there, you know. And he says, I think we need to get rid of that old filthy, dirty bunk. I think we need to shut the doors of the churches, break the cross, and throw it away. Now, it ain't possible for me to live peace with somebody like that, Brother Redden. So I just real nice, I typed in there. I said, dear friend, Luke 6:35 said, he's kind to the unthankful and to the evil. I said, he even gave Jezebel space to repent. And buddy, he's giving you space. Don't waste it. Amen. I do the best I can. I'll tell you right now, I ain't got time for someone like that. And thanks God is something other than the friend of sinners that's merciful and kind and long-suffering to us where that was anyway. Before I got saved, I saw me and that boy. Kind to the unthankful. As those people get up in the morning, they don't thank God for the breakfast. They don't thank God for a good night's sleep. They don't thank God for the food, for the health, to be able to sit down and enjoy the meal. They just wolf it down. God's kind to someone like that, Brother Philip.
Amen. Kind to me.
I was wicked as hell. Deserved hell. He stood between me and hell. The only reason I didn't make it. If he had not stood between me and hell, I was going to make it. I'm glad he did, brother.
Amen.
He stood between me and hell. Paul, tell the gang of Agrippa, he said, I saw one in the way. He got in my way, Brother Todd. Kept me mending up in that place of the down, the dune, that place of destruction, hell. I'm glad he got in my way. I didn't understand it at the time, brother. But I do now. He loved me. He didn't want me to go to hell. He said, Eddie, don't go there. If you go to hell, you'll have to either figure out some way around him, or you'll have to step over him, or you'll have to run him over. But he's standing in the gap, standing in the way of lost sinners, so they won't make it to that place prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. If it be possible. I seen Brother Ridden back there. He's laughing a little bit on that. If it be possible, as much as life in you, I don't know how much you got in you, but you ought to have enough. Have a little grace about you. Amen.
Amen.
Live peace with all men. Psalms 34:14 says, seek peace and pursue it. Always look to be peaceable. It's not impossible. It just takes a little bit of effort. If you get rid of your pride, if you just condemn sin down just a little bit, you'll find out you can find peace.
Yeah.
You'll find out it's a whole lot better. Just come up here and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to tell another story on Eddie Wade. Just so you know I'm human. I was working out there at R. Donnelly and Sons, and guy I work with, a young guy, some of y'all know him, he just lives right up the road here, Chuck Barbie. Well, I'll take it back, he lives at I was thinking of Eddie Jones. Chuck Barbie is what I'm talking about. Chuck Barbie, young man, loved the Lord, saved. He came up to me one day out there at work, and Brother Philip, I thought I'd done arrived. I mean, I thought, you know, I'd done know the Bible, and I mean, I thought I knowed enough. I thought I was on solid ground. And old Chuck Barbie came up to me, and he said, Brother Eddie, he said, I'd like to ask you a question. I said, all right, Brother Chuck. I didn't see us coming, Brother Reardon. He said, what do you think that verse means where it says, don't cast your pearls before swine? I said, well, Brother Chuck, I never really thought much about it. I don't know. This is bad. He said, well, I'll tell you what I think it means. Now, y'all look at me, listen to me real good right here, and maybe you won't have to go through what I did. I said, well, what do you think it means? He said, well, he said, I think it means you ought not just witness to everyone, but only the ones that the Lord leads you to witness to. And I got in the flesh. I got big, I mean, stuck both feet in my mouth. I said, that's never going to work for me. I'm going to worship. I'm going to witness to everyone. It'll stand still long enough for me to witness to. And he walked away while I'm up here ranting, raving. And directly he came back up here, Brother Reardon. I'm foaming mad. I mean, a wet hen, it would be no way madder than I was. I couldn't believe it. I thought I'd already reached that place of maturity And something little like that right there just blew me up out of the water. Brother Chuck Barbie come up there in love. He said, "Everything all right, brother?" And of course I lied. "Yeah, everything fine, brother. I'm foaming mad. All day long, boy, just madder than a wet hen. I done something with it there, sister. I didn't let it stay there. On the way home church, I stopped over at church, Brother Reardon, and I went in there like a little whipped dog. I said, "Lord, I know you already know I made a mistake today. I said, I'm sorry. I said, I don't even know what the verse means, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to walk in my house. I'm going to ask my wife what she thinks that verse means. And whatever she says, I'm going to take it at me. It's coming from you. I'm going to take it. That's what it means." I walked in the house, Brother Todd. Dottie's back there. I said, "Come here, honey." "Here she come, Brother Bobby." I said, "What do you think this verse means?" And she said, "Well, I think it means y'all just witness to those that God leads you to witness to, not witness to everybody." I went back in the bedroom. I said, "Okay, Lord, I got it." I went to check next day. I said, "Boy, you was mighty right yesterday, brother. I needed it. Thank you. You've helped me." We got to learn how to condemn sin. I think it says pride goes before destruction, haughty spirit before fall. God warned Nebuchadnezzar. He's walking in pride like America. God warned him. He wouldn't listen. That angel said unto thee, it spoke. And after he sat there and eat grass for I forgot how many years, and his nails and his hair grew, and his understanding finally came back, he finally said, "I realize the Most High, He rules in the affairs of men, and those that walk in pride, He's able to abase." Amen. He's just full of himself, like we get sometimes. Angela, why won't people leave it alone? The Bible said not to give place to the devil. Seems like we give the whole place to him if we're not careful. It says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." Ephesians 4:26. Tell you another episode in the archives of Dottie and Eddie Wade. Hey, tell, listen. I worked all day long out there, hot. I'm headed home, get me something to eat. My loving wife, that's the reason I married her. I sat down at her table. I knew right then I had to kill somebody. She's going to be my wife. Man, I tell you, they ain't kidding about the way the man's heart through his stomach. She fixed a meal, and I'll tell you right now, I knew right then she's going to be Miss Eddie Wade. Amen. Well, I come home from work, and I opened up that door. I said, "What's for supper?" I'm expecting fried chicken, fried potatoes, pinto beans, cornbread, you know, just the norm. She said, "Tater soup." And I didn't see this coming, Brother Reardon. I just blowed up. I said, "Potato soup?" I said, "I work all day long and you got tater soup fixed?" She went to the bedroom crying. Now I'm so hungry, I went there fixing that bowl, and I have to admit, it's the best stuff I've ever eaten in my life. I'd rather have it than have fried chicken, pinto bean, cornbread. I just didn't know. I never eaten no tater soup before. And here I am. I've done stuck my foot in my mouth. She's bawling, squalling. I'm loving tater soup, but I ain't going to tell her. So, you know, that verse says, "Don't let the sun go down your wrath." We slept back to back. Not a word. Some of y'all must have been there too. This just kept on festering up. I'm out there at work one day, and I read this verse in the book of Psalms. "Better is a den of herbs and love thereat than a stalled ox and hatred therewith." And they had to give me the cafeteria. I couldn't help it. I'm weeping out loud, wailing and weeping. And everybody got up and left me in there. After I finally got where I could see again, I went home. And, I'll take it back. I didn't go home, Brother Reardon. I stopped by church again. I wanted some help. Yeah, that's what I did. And I went in there like a little whipped pup as usual. I knelt down and I said, "Lord, I said, I know you already know about this, but I made another mistake." And I said, "First of all," I said, "I want to thank you for my wife, for finding someone that can love me and live with me, put up with me. Thank you for my wife." And I said, "Lord, I need some help here." And I need you to help us to get back to loving each other like we used to love each other. And if you just do anything else, you'll appreciate it. I got in my car and I drive home, but it's about 15 minutes out there to the house. I open up a door and she's bawling her eyes out. She said, sit down right now. I need to talk to you. And I thought, okay, who's died? So I sat there and she said, God just spoke to me just now. And he said, we need to forgive one another and get back to loving each other like we used to love each other. And my jaw hit the countertop. She spoke word for word what I just prayed. Don't tell me there's no power in prayer.
Amen.
I'll just tell you right now, I know what to do now when I mess up. I may not have used to know, but I know now what to do. I go running to him and say, I messed up. I need some help. That's what some of you need to do tonight. You need to run up here and say, Lord, I've messed up. I've lost it. I need to get back what you gave me. Amen. Do you remember when you first got saved?
Amen.
Remember how you loved everybody?
Yeah.
Now you just got just a few there on your list. I wake them babies up. I'm sorry. God bless your heart. If you look over this next page over here, I'm just going to take a few out of this. The fruits of the flesh or the works of the flesh. Just going to name a few of them. Hatred, wrath, strife, envy, murders, revelings, drunkenness, fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness. We need some of that. Smoking flax. I told you about that bruised reed. Let me give you some examples of some bruised reeds. I'm about done here. Here's some bruised reeds I'll just throw out there real quick. Thief on the cross. He just got through making fun of the Lord, cursing him, casting accusations in his teeth. Best evident he's fixing to die. You know what he said, brother? He said, Lord, remember me.
Yes.
Bruce Reed. The Lord didn't say, now if you said that a while ago, it'd be all right. Do you know what he said, Brother Reardon? He said, today, you'll be with me, buddy.
Amen.
Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Them bruised reeds and smoking flax, that bruised reed, that thief there, his options had run out. Only one option left. It's right there, right beside him. The other one didn't take the option. Too much full of himself, I guess. But one of them said, Lord, remember me. He found out, buddy. God, he'll do something with bruised reeds. That woman had five husbands and was living with another one. John chapter 4, verse 18. She left a water pot. My pastor said she found that number 7 of perfection. Look no further. She was a spouse to him after that. Hallelujah. Woo! She found that perfect husband. She found it in him. Amen. Hey, listen, you women. I tell you right now, I wish every man was like Christ. And the Bible does say, ye husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We do need to learn how to love our wives. Let me just tell you something here, men. Let me deflate your ego just a little bit. God loaned you one of his daughters. Her price is far above rubies. I've been making payments on mine now for 40 years. She just told me tonight she needed $31 for her and $31 for the granddaughter. I said, so be it. She's worth every penny of it. God saw a lonely man. The very first not good mention in the Bible, God said it's not good for a man to be alone. I'll go down. I'll make a help met for him. And the Bible said that a wife is a gift from God.
Amen.
Said she'll do him good all the days of her life. We husbands, we just don't understand what a gift God give us. We just, I don't know. We think we just do whatever, whenever. But one day you're going to have someone to help you. You might have to be pushed around in a wheelchair. But that's the beauty of that marriage. Amen. There'll be somebody there to help you. Amen. That's what God had in mind. He said that man needs some help. I'm going to go down. I'm going to make a help made for him. The gift of God was the wife. Amen. Help us as husbands to understand God loaned us one of His daughters. Let's remember they belong to Him. And let's remember we'll answer to Him. Let none deal with his wife in such a way that he get in trouble. Amen. I'm telling you, love your wife. This woman had a problem. Her problem with husbands. She had five living with another. There's another woman. John chapter 8 verse 4 was taken in adultery in the very act. I'm just glad they brought her to Jesus. Amen. They wanted her to be stoned, but they threw her down to the feet of Jesus. He just looked on them and said, let he among you that sin cast the first stone. That's where we're at. We can't throw no rocks. We need to realize we're not no better than nobody else. We're just animated dirt balls. Amen. Now let me give you some examples of smoking flax. Peter denied the Lord three times. And then the Lord asked him three times if he loved him. John 21, smoking flax. Thomas wasn't there when the Lord showed up. He said, "Except I see my own eyes and put my finger in the nail print in his hand and thrust my hand in his side, I'll not believe." And Jesus showed up, smoking flax. He said, "Thomas, be not faithless, but believe. Put your finger in my hand. Thrust your hand in my side." He said, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said, "Because you've seen, you believe." He says, "No faith." Blessed are those that believe without seeing. That's you and me. We got faith. Amen. I mean, it's like precious gold. Our faith is smoking flax. Not only has God forgiven us of our sins, He removed our sins. And He not only blotted them out, but the Bible said He'll never remember no more against us in Isaiah 43 verse 25. God's restoration program is, first of all, just realize there's some hurting people out there. Me and my pastor one time, Brother Philip, there was this lady, she got saved and she came pretty faithful, and then she got to missing. You know how we are, you know. So we thought we'd go over and we'd just give her a good dose of, you know, fact. You know, the Bible said Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking some of ourselves together, as a manner of some is. It always leaves this part out. But exhorting one another. See, I'm encouraged now. Brother Bobby's here, Brother Todd's here, and a lot of you here. You encourage me. I hope to be encouraging you. See, that's the thing about going to church. You're exhorting, you're encouraging someone when you show up. And you're missed when you're not there. But it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see that day approaching. Anyway, we go out there to her house. And I mean, we're just full of ourselves. Who does she think she is? And we knock on the door, and she comes outside the door and shuts the door behind her, and we can hear the hell she's living in. And she says, "I'm sorry. I wanted to come." And we're about like right there, you know. We're sorry we even showed up. You never know what kind of hell people are living in. We caught it, I mean, boy, point blank. She was living in a hell, Brother Reardon. Man, I wanted to go in there and get somebody by the nape of the neck and straight. I'm telling you, boy, Lord bless her heart. You talk about a bruised reed. That poor woman. Man, I tell you what, they's holding her hostage in there, sis. That hell hole this young child of God was living in. It ought not be so. Let me say that. I'm about done here tonight. But I hope in this night one thought has come forward to you. There's somebody out there hurting. Yes. There's somebody out there about ready to give up. There's somebody out there. I went on visitation one night with my pastor and all. And they went down one end of the street and I went down the other end of the street. It was mixed match that night. There was three of us. And they went by twos and I went by myself. And I knocked on the front door. And man, this is the first house I stopped at. Yeah, I'm kind of pawing at the gate. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus, you know. So I beat on that front door. Nobody came. And I don't always do this, but I went around back and beat on the back door. And finally, somebody opened the door. And it was a woman. And I said, "Ma'am," I "just want to tell you, Jesus loves you. You saved." She broke down in tears. She said, "I didn't want to answer the door a minute ago." She said, "I was in the kitchen on the floor with a knife to my chest trying to get up enough nerve to thrust it through my chest. I said, you don't need to do that, ma'am. Jesus loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to help you. And I tell you right now, but I found out everybody ain't like what you got. She was living in a hell. She had a knife to her chest. She was trying to get up enough nerve just to plunge that knife in there. I'm glad I did go the extra mile.
Amen.
You just don't never know. You never know what young people are going through. They go to school and get bullied and get beat up, and that ain't fun. I got it on both ends. I've done some of it, got some of it done to me. It ain't no fun either way. We need to find out how to help people, beloved. Let's get in this restoration program. Let's try to learn how to help one another. Listen, life's tough enough. It's a whole lot easier when you got someone trying to help you. It's a whole lot easier when you got someone encouraging you, someone praying for you, someone saying, I'm in your corner, I'm on your side. We'll get through this somehow, it'll be all right. Whatever you do, don't get a log in your eye. Whatever you do, don't get so high and mighty. God's got to bring you down and show you you ain't half what you thought you are. It'd be a whole lot better if you just come here tonight and said, Lord, I'm nothing. And if you can use nothing, here I am. Be a whole lot better. I believe the Bible said God resisteth the proud, exalteth the humble. I believe it says humble yourself. Therefore, in the mighty hand of God, He might exalt you in due time. You won't hurt as bad when you fall if you're humble, if you're meek and lowly. But if you're high and mighty, you're going to get skin all over. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God again tonight. Lord, I don't know how this message went. I just know this is a message you wanted me to preach tonight. I've been faithful, Lord, in the preaching, Lord, of the Word of God and everything that you said for me to say and do. And Lord, whatever needs to be done tonight, I pray, Lord, it be done by divine means. Let every soul, I pray, be obedient tonight. Let everyone, I pray, from their heart of hearts tonight, obey the beckoning of your pleading tonight. Lord, I pray you'll get the reward of your suffering. I pray you'll get the joy that belongs to you and you alone. Lord, I pray your children tonight will realize that you're love. You're not only love, but Lord, that you're merciful, gracious, and full of compassion. Your mercies are new every morning. And you just put up with us and keep on going with us another mile. And you keep remolding the clay. Help someone tonight, I pray. Get some victory tonight. In Jesus' precious name, we'll ask it. Amen. Brother Philip, I'd like to ask you to come, brother.